Amen. Good morning, everyone. Looks like we got most of our technology working today. It's great to be back. I missed everybody last week. Heard that George did a great job. And what I want to do today is starting a new month. I want to look into a new topic. And I thought it was kind of fun that we do this because the book of Daniel is one of those books that, you know, how we kind of dismissed everybody at Children's Church. It was one of those things where the book of Daniel, we learned this as kids, and we see all of these fantastic and amazing stories sometimes when we read throughout the Bible. And yet, because we're trying to learn these things as children, you want to make sure that things can be understood. You don't want to be overly complicated or get too deep. And sometimes when we become adults, we forget to go back and dig a little deeper. We forget to, you know, kind of digest it with a little more maturity, you know, with a little more detail. And, you know, as I was reading through this, I thought this would be a really good topic for us to look at because we know the faith and the courage that Daniel had. We go through and read all these different chapters, but sometimes it gets lost on us how we can apply it, how we can actually put it together and make it something practical for our daily use. And so I want to look at probably one of the most famous biblical stories, certainly one of the most famous biblical stories in all the Old Testament, Daniel and his little encounter in the lion's den, right? We all learn this as kids, but I kind of want to do something a little different. I want to go a little bit what I'll call behind the music, and that's what the sermon today will be called, Behind the Music. Now, Behind the Music, I borrow that title because I remember back in college, I used to watch VH1. VH1 would have this show called Behind the Music, right? And you'd have your favorite band, your favorite artist, you know, whoever the rock star is, rapper, whoever it was. And we only know them from their albums and their lyrics and the songs and the concerts that we go to. But what VH1 was attempting to do was go behind the scenes and show you that it wasn't always very easy. That actually there was a lot of turmoil and fighting, and this artist or this singer, she almost didn't get her break, or she almost, you know, died, or just all types of things, tragedy that went on in their lives. And when we read the Bible, what's so important is that we don't just look at those things that stand out to us that we may have already known, but that we actually really truly take the time to understand why it matters so much that this person or this story is being told. What exactly is it that God wants us to learn from somebody like Daniel? And so we're going to stay in one chapter today, Daniel chapter 6. We're going to go through the whole thing. We're going to break it down in smaller pieces. But I want us to really think about this because Daniel was a man of amazing faith. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 6. It says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against him, against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So I want to set the scene here just a little bit so everybody understands what's happening. Now, Daniel, for years, he has served under several different kings. We're going to come back to that because that matters in context, that Daniel has been doing this for a while. Darius isn't the first person who he has been working for in his administration. But what has happened is he excelled and he was so exceptional that the king had it in his mind that, you know what? We're going to go ahead and kind of break this up and govern a little more efficiently, have different people in places to manage these affairs. And I trust this exceptional man so much. I believe in him so much. He's so trustworthy that I'm actually going to assign him to be over even the 3 who are over the other 120. And needless to say, you know, the other people, they didn't like this. They didn't like the fact that Daniel was being put in charge and being put in this position. And so they set up a trap. And basically the trap was, and the government had kind of changed a little bit the way they had done things. Basically it was like, you know what? We don't want people permanently to pray to you, Darius, but we're just going to do this for 30 days just to see what happens, right? It was literally a trap set up just to entrap Daniel. And you would think, well, Daniel knew about this and he heard about this and he was aware of what was going on. But what we find is that Daniel was completely unfazed. He was not bothered by this. He wasn't deterred by this. It says he went on to continue doing what he had always done. He would always go do the same thing he did every day. 3 times a day, he would go and he would pray. So they set this up, and then they go back to the king to see what the king would do. Now, the king, he wasn't the brightest guy in the world because he kind of fell for this, you know, little scheme. And when they finally come back to him and say, "Hey, you did put this in writing. You did say that this is what was going to happen." And, you know, your boy Daniel here, he is actually disobeying this rule. He's actually praying to someone other than you. And he says, well, the decree stands. You know, whenever we tell the story, and we're going to get into the lion's den, we're going to get into the story that we're so very familiar with about Daniel in this lion's den, but it's so important to understand that this starts out with Daniel. This starts out with him, and it can't be overlooked the fact that Daniel knew everything that was going on. He knew what was happening, and he prayed to God, and it says he was thankful. He prayed thanksgiving to God. He wasn't worried. He didn't go to God praying, saying, oh, my goodness, fix it. Do something. I can't believe you've got all these other administrators. They're all against me. See, this is very real life. Because here's the thing that's going to happen. We're all going to leave here. You know, we'll have some food downstairs and we'll fellowship and everything. And then we're going to leave out of here. And then tomorrow we're going to go. Oh, I'm sorry. Next week. Sorry. Save your appetite for next week. I got that wrong. All right. Come back. Come back next week. We'll have food then. But what happens is we go out of here tomorrow. We go to our jobs. We leave out of here. We get back home. We go to our neighborhoods. We travel up and down the road. And when things and people are working and conspiring against us, the challenge for us is to remember that God is still there. That this scenario and this situation, frankly, is happening to you. It's all about you, but it's really not designed for you to have a crisis of faith. It's designed for you to demonstrate what real faith is. See, Daniel, he didn't get panicked. He didn't worry about it. He demonstrated what real faith is. He says, I'm not going to be bothered. I'm going to continue. It's going to be business as usual. I'm going to keep serving and worshiping and praying to God. We see this adversity that comes up. And we all face some type of adversity, right? When that adversity comes up, a sound faith, understanding really who your Father is and what you mean to Him, lets you know that there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be concerned about. There's nothing to worry about. And so whenever we face our trials, whenever we face our issues, whenever we come up against adversity, it's our faith that we have to lean on. We can't get caught up in the people and the things and the scenarios and what's going to happen to my job, what's going to happen to my house, what's going to happen to my health. But we need to carry on in faith, knowing that God is truly in control. You know, that word bravery comes up a lot of times and in relation to Daniel. And as we go through this, looking through the rest of this book, we're going to see this come up, not just with Daniel, but with also his friends and other people around him, where people are going to marvel at their bravery. But what really is bravery? What does bravery look like? But more specifically, what does bravery look like for you or me today, 2019? What does bravery look like? What is it that we have to face that we have to be brave enough and faithful enough to say, you know what? I'm going to stand on my convictions. I'm going to do what is right before God, regardless of what is in front of me. Because very often, that's the difficulty. We see something in front of us, and we forget that there's no reason to not be brave because God is behind us. He's with us. I want to continue looking in chapter 13. We'll continue with the story. It says, then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave orders, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his place and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And this is the part of the story where everybody knows and everybody's read this. We got this as children. It's like, oh, man, that's amazing. He spent the night in the lion's den. And I remember even some of the illustrations I saw as kids where, you know, they have the kind of the angel and it was just sitting there petting the lions, you know, like, oh, leave Daniel alone, right? Like, we have this imagery, and yet it's still amazing to us to think that Daniel sitting down there overnight with hungry lions and nothing happened to him. But we can almost be so caught up in that that we can forget about Darius over here. Because whenever we read this, the conflict is not necessarily, you know, whenever we read it and we try to put ourselves in it, the conflict is not always found in whether or not we have the faith of Daniel, but sometimes we can be like Darius. Sometimes we can cave to pressure. You know, we see this where Darius is like, it says he was trying, like feverishly, trying to find a way to fix this because he knew that Daniel hadn't done anything wrong. He figured out that this decree that they had formulated was just a trap. It was just something to get Daniel, find some reason to get rid of Daniel. And we can forget about Darius because it wasn't just Daniel in this scenario and a bunch of lions, but we see Darius too. How often when faced with a challenge, how often when faced with adversity, how often when we look at troubles that are in our life and scenarios that come up, do we look at it and we cave? We give in. We know who this amazing God is, but we still cave to the pressure, that peer pressure. You know, sometimes you even find that in, you know, churches, or you find that anywhere where it's like people cave. They cave on their convictions. This is a story about convictions. This is a story about faith and whether or not you really believe in God. We see here that Darius looked at his circumstances. He saw the situation. He didn't want to be shamed and pressured by all those other administrators, and so he caved in the face of these circumstances, whereas Daniel saw beyond those circumstances and decided, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. Think of how many times, how many situations we go through each day, every week, in our own personal families, in our careers, where we have the opportunity to be like Daniel and demonstrate our faith in God, but we succumb to pressure and we cave. And we decide we want to do what's going to be the path of least resistance, because that's not faith. That doesn't show God that you believe in him and trust in him. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we going to be Darius? Because we don't want to make waves, even if we know this isn't the best scenario, or are we going to be Daniel? Or are we going to say, I'm going to trust God, and I know that it's going to work out for me? I saw a quote here. First of all, I love this picture. But I saw this quote. Bravery is an island in an ocean of fear. To be brave is not to be fearless. Instead, it is to be fearful, yet remain unmoved by that fear. You know, you think about when you go to the doctor. Because sometimes, you know, you think, well, so what if it happened? Whatever happened to my job doesn't matter. Or I can always get a new car, get a new house. But what about your own health? See, that's the thing about Daniel. His own health was on the line. This wasn't just a demotion, or he was, you know, not going to get a promotion that he wanted, or he was going to be shamed and ridiculed by man. No, this was actual facing death. And yet, he trusted God. He was fearless in the face of this. Do we have that same faith in God? Here's another one. The real man smiles in trouble, gathers strength from distress, and grows brave by reflection. It's Thomas Paine who's credited with that. And I love at the end there where it talks about grows brave by reflection. You know, the thing is, and that's what we're going to come back to this, the thing about Daniel in this scenario, I remember how I was taught this when I was a kid, the story. And one of the things we forget about this is that Daniel, by this point, by the time he was serving under King Darius, had actually served two other kings. He had been doing this for a long time. Daniel, they estimate, was probably close to 80 years old. See, he was a young teenager when he was taken in captivity into Babylon. This is 70 years later. So he was into his 80s. So this wasn't some young, spry, strong, you know, handsome lad like myself being thrown in the lion's den. This was an old man. This was some old guy. This is a guy who his strength was behind him. His thoughts of being able to protect himself and muster up the strength to be able to defend himself, it was gone. This man's in his 80s. I know there's some people in here that are in their 80s. I'm not going to say which ones, but the thing is, this is so important because very often we can forget that this example of faith and courage and bravery and trusting God, he would go on to change an entire nation because of his bravery, and he did it even at that advanced age. Even well into his 80s. Sometimes we can feel limited because not just looking at the circumstances in front of us, but we also look in the mirror. And we may look in the mirror and feel like, well, I don't see very much there. You know, who am I to be that example of faith or courage or bravery? Who am I to be the one that God chooses to stand up in the face of this? The answer is, you're God's vessel. You're God's chosen vessel. And when you walk out of here, when you go to your job, when you go to your neighborhoods, when you're in the grocery store, when you're living your life, you're going to class, whatever it is you're doing, you're God's chosen vessel. Do you have faith that God is going to use you like Daniel was used in this situation? An aged, well-seasoned, largely broken down, all of his strength and all of his promise probably behind him. He wouldn't live much longer than this. But this is his signature moment. As an 80-something-year-old man, being brave, setting an example of faith. And we're going to see how this turns out for him. We'll finish up here. Verse 24 says, at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Daniel, this 80-something-year-old man, because of his unwillingness to compromise, because of his unwillingness to change, because of his unwillingness to be bullied and pressured into not worshiping his God, into not having faith in his God, He was undeterred. And as a result, an entire nation of people knew who the real God was. Is that how we live? Is this the expected outcome, frankly, of our faith in God? Do we really believe that this is how God is going to use us? It finishes here. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. It says he prospered. Sometimes before we get to that place of prosperity, sometimes before we get to that place where we can see how we're going to prosper, we have to be willing to live and step out there on faith. We have to be willing to not get bullied, to not be told what to do. We have to be willing to take a loss if it comes to that. That's a common theme throughout the book of Daniel that we're going to see over here over the next few weeks. But we see that he prospered. That means he personally grew. He personally saw good things happen to him. But it wasn't because of him being so great. It wasn't just because of what he did. It was because he was willing to trust God in spite of whatever obstacle was put in his way. Standing firm in our faith allows us to prosper and set the example that God intends for his church. You know, I put that in there about, because that's what God does expect of the church. You know, it's not just a, you know, come together and do nice things, but God expects us to set an example of faith in him, so that just like Daniel's, others can see him through us. When people see the church, when people who know some of us here at the Dover Church of Christ, do they think of bravery? Do they think of faith? Is that the example that we are setting for the world? Because it's certainly what the world needs. It is certainly what is lacking. People are just so willing to compromise and you know, any little thing that comes along, they don't want to make waves. They don't stand for anything. They're not willing to sacrifice anything in our society. Nobody's willing to stand alone. Forget lions in a den. Just standing alone by itself would discourage people from being willing to stand for God. The church is needed. We are needed to show that example of having real faith and conviction. Is that what people see in the church? Is that what people see in you? A few questions before we finish up here. Does my faith allow me to see beyond my circumstances? Do I focus on what's in front of me or the God that's behind me? Does your faith allow you to see past your circumstances? The car you're driving, the job that you have, the current status of your relationship, what's going on with your children, what's going on with your parents, your own physical health, the politics that we're seeing on the news every day, the decay of integrity and morality, mass shootings, mass killings. Does your faith allow you to be able to see beyond your own personal circumstances? What's in front of you? Do you remember the God and the promises that he has made to be faithful to you? Number two, when pressure mounts, do I go with the crowd like Darius, or do I continue in my faith like Daniel and take it to God anyway? When it was all laid out, and it was made clear that this is what the decree was and this is what was going to happen, Darius folded. He caved. He eventually saw the error in what he was doing, but he felt powerless to fix it. He wasn't willing to say, you know what, you guys tricked me. Now, after he saw what happened to him, you know, after he saw what happened to Daniel, then he was willing to do it. But in the face of that moment, Darius caved, whereas Daniel just said, you know what? I'm going to go home and pray like I always do. threats and people coming at me will not deter me. Are you deterred? Are you unbothered in the face of adversity when pressure mounts? Third thing, is my faith a threat to anyone in their way of life? Does my heart towards God distinguish me from anyone, from everyone else around me? Does anyone even know that I am a faithful disciple of Christ? You know, I throw this one in there because before we can even get to the lion's den and before we can talk about the lions crushing their bones and all these decrees and everything else and Darius's change of heart, what we find is Daniel had been standing out as a man of God for decades. Daniel had been distinguishing himself for years. No fanfare, not a bunch of popularity. He was just being faithful to God. And even that was seen as a threat to people. Sometimes we have to realize that our willingness to be godly, it will make people feel uncomfortable. It will make people feel threatened. Our unwillingness to compromise and want to fit in and succumb to peer pressure, it actually makes other people feel uncomfortable. Are we willing to make other people feel uncomfortable because we're willing to stand on our faith? Do we stop short of making people feel uncomfortable because we don't want to be isolated and alone? We don't want to stand out. We don't want people talking about us and pointing fingers. Are we willing, for the sake of God and setting the example of faith that He expects of us, are we willing to stand alone? Are we willing to distinguish ourselves? And finally, what excuses do I use to not be brave? Is my faith only a set of rules and principles, or can they be seen in my walk with God? You know, I say that, you know, set of rules and principles because, let's face it, there's no shortage of people who are out here who will say that they are Christians, that they believe, they read the Bible, they believe in this one true living God, and they believe He created the whole universe. But when it comes to being brave, when it comes to taking a stand for things, that's when it gets tricky. Are we willing to be brave, or do we make excuses? We say, well, yeah, but I don't want to get a bad I don't want to give God a bad reputation, or, well, I don't want to go too far, or I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't really feel like I'm competent or capable of teaching people. So I'm going to use that as a shield, as a screen, as a reason to not be brave, to not be bold. See, God's not asking us, in most cases, He's not asking us to do anything crazy. He's not asking us to do anything that is completely outside of the norm. He's just asking us to stand on our faith. He's asking us to have conviction that says, even if something looks like it is going to end in my death or my demise or my destruction, or it's going to hurt me or hurt my family, even if that is what it looks like, I'm going to trust You. You know, I talked about that track record. See, the thing about it is Daniel, and we're going to get into this next week, Daniel had the benefit of many other things in his life. When you see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, that happened decades before. So he understood that God was going to take care of him. You know, most of us here, we've seen God be faithful in our lives. We've seen Him take care of us. We've seen Him bring us through so many different things. Do we believe that He's going to bring us through the next thing? Do we trust that He's going to be there and He's going to be faithful for the next situation? You know, I battled this, you know, disease 10 years ago and God brought me through. Well, what about the next one? Are you brave in facing that one too? Well, you know, I remember years ago when I was unemployed and we were struggling as a family, I couldn't make it. And now you're faced with something else. Is God going to bring you through this one too? Is he going to be faithful? And are you going to be brave this time too? We have to remember the God that we serve. We have to remember the Father who loves us that we pray to. And see beyond those circumstances. Are you someone who has never, maybe you've never taken the time to say, you know what? I need to get to know this God. We see that with Darius, and we see his change of heart because he sees how God was working. Is God working in your life? Has God brought you here, frankly? Maybe he's put you in a situation because he's saying, you need to have a relationship with me. You need to come to me. Have you ever taken the time to submit your life to God, to make Jesus the Lord of your life? If you haven't, today is the day. This is the time to do it. This is the time to put your faith with your works, to put them in action and say, I need to give my life to God. I need to understand what this faith is, what this courage is. I need to have this myself, and I want to learn. As a church, we'll study the Bible with you. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We will help you understand what it means to be a follower of his, to truly be a disciple of Christ. But it's a decision that you have to make. And if you haven't made that decision, then the time is now for you to do that. Please stand as we sing our song of invitation.